Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. This is Troy Dooley with Radio for Your Mind. I'm a little few seconds late. I tell you, it has been one crazy weekend, all in a good reason. But listen, here's the scoop. This is what I need from each and every listener. We need your prayers, folks. This oil slick is headed this way. We've been praying and praying and praying that the good Lord would just change these winds, that they would start coming out of the northwest and push this back out to the Gulf, so that they could get it cleaned up, because it is devastating to the economy, to the ecosystem. It's just a nut, is what it is. So please, we request that everybody listening keep the southern states, the Gulf states, from Texas all the way to Florida, especially Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, where the bulk of this is going to hit. Man, those poor folks over there have gone through so much over the last few years since Katrina that our hearts and prayers go out to them. Today we're in Tom Hopp's book. This is probably going to be the final week. We're winding this down. I want you all to know now, as soon as we wind up with this book of Tom's on the radio show, I'm going to start doing a daily video over at Ustream TV cast, where we're going to start right back at the very beginning, but we're going to do it with video. I am so excited about this book. Timeout, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. You can go to tomhopp.com, buy the book. He's donating $5 from every copy of this book to some of the greatest charities and network marketing out there, so it's going to be great. But Tom starts this off, and this just rocks. I love this. He starts this chapter off, or really it's not this chapter, it's the section that he starts off. He says, when you step outside your comfort zone and choose to play a bigger game in life, you will notice doors of opportunity opening all around you. You will work smarter, you'll be more effective, and you'll persevere. In return, you will have new evidence, proof in your life that you can achieve your goals and have the life of your dreams. He goes on to say, this planet filled with opportunity will be your oyster. That's abundant thinking. And I thought about that. I thought, man, I love what he's saying here, because it's when we change our paradigm, it's when we change what's in our mind, that the rose-colored glasses come up, that our worldview changes, and we're able to go out there and really get to cranking, really get to going. And in this chapter, play like a champion today. This is where we're all at. We're all here to make that conscious decision that today is the first day of the rest of our life. Tom opens up this chapter. He says, what is commitment? Many people have different definitions, and I'm sure a few people even tweak their definitions of commitment depending on how much they want to achieve a goal. To achieve your goals and your dreams, you have to be one thing. You have to do one thing above all else. You've got to be committed. In the dictionary, it's defined as an act, agreement, or a pledge to do something. Here's Tom's definition: doing whatever it takes ethically, morally, and legally to get the job done. While mine's always been a little bit different than his, mine is just never give up. It goes back to Art Williams' deal, all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. And as I was reading through here, I thought, man, what are some commitments in my life that I've never backed out on? And I can tell you one. It happened in, excuse me, in 1989, I guess it was, and Paige and I just had a rough time. We separated, and it was just crazy. Life was crazy. It was getting close to my last year in the bail bond business, and I sat there, and one night I was in my office, and I thought, do I really want to lose this girl? You know, my own stupidity, not hers, had what caused us to get separated. The attorneys were already working to move it from separation to divorce. She'd started deciding if it was going to be over. She's pregnant with Dalton, but she thought, if it's going to be over, then I'm not going to wallow in spilt milk. And she'd pretty much given up that the relationship could ever be salvaged. And me, like an idiot, had, you know, I'd done my own stupid stuff. But I decided that night. I just felt like, man, it's just me and God having a talk. And that's when I decided, you know what, I don't want to lose her. I don't want to go through life without her being my wife. And I went to the extra effort of winning back her trust. I renewed my commitment to her. And within a few short months, not only were we back together, but Dalton was born, and we'd made our first trip to Destin. So I understand that commitment level. Sad thing is, very few people have that commitment level. And I think that if we get that commitment level, if we realize that we want to go after something, if we realize we're willing to take it to the next level, then we can have it. Tom goes on to write this. Listen to this. Think about this for a minute. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish your goals and dreams? What he's suggesting is that anybody who is committed to achieving their goals are driven by their big why. Now, all of us in network marketing have always heard people ask us, what's your why? Well, he goes on to say, it's your motivation, your purpose, your passion, and cause for achieving your goal. Your big why has to mean so much to you that you will do whatever it takes because it's important to you. It's your anchor. It's your driving force when you step outside your comfort zone into a world of infinite possibility. And I got to thinking about that. One of the things that I believe in is that people will do more for others than themselves. And one of the things that right now that Paige and I are going through is trying to get custody of our grandchild, our little baby granddaughter that we haven't seen that's 10 months old. And I got to thinking, man, he's so right, because we are totally committed to that. I mean, we have literally changed some things in our life. We've moved some financial resources around to make it 100% our commitment right now to do everything that we can do to make sure that everything lines up the way it needs to as we walk into court and let a judge make that final decision on what's best for that grandchild. And folks, it's amazing when you strive for something, what can happen. And he goes on to write, in life, people are motivated by different reasons. And I thought this was good. I wrote this down on my 3x5 cards because I find this very impactful. There are three primary motivators: purpose, recognition, and money. And Tom goes on to say, when I refer to purpose, I'm referring to people who feel deeply in their heart that they have a calling, a responsibility, a duty to act on behalf of their purpose or their cause. And this is my wife. See, my wife was called to be an advocate for children. It's a passion that I have. I mean, I'll do anything, not just my grandchildren. But now I'm seeing this purpose, this calling, be passed down into my kids. Dalton with Operation Guardian Angels, which now Cassie over the weekend has started raising funds to help people that will never know who she is, up in Albertsville, Alabama, where the tornadoes did some devastating impact. Purpose is what drives our family. And it's what drove Mother Teresa. Tom writes in here about Mother Teresa and all that she did. And it was always about the other people. It wasn't about her. But then he goes on, and I thought this was good. He goes on and he says, people are motivated by recognition. When excelling in their endeavors of choice, they appreciate and possibly yearn for frequent recognition and attention for their accomplishments. Now, Tom hits on something here. See, when people are motivated by recognition, he talks about movie stars, Hollywood, writers, but I've also found that people in network marketing or people in the world, actually, that are driven just by recognition, there's also a negative side or a downside to that. See, if they're not getting the right recognition, they sometimes will go out there and they will create recognition, and it can be devastating to other people because they will purposely go out there and bully and demeanor and make themselves look better than other people just so that they get the recognition that they're looking for. And that really, it rings true, because Tom goes on to write, this motivator is usually ego-driven. You may know people like this, or you may be someone yourself. See, when the ego is in charge, and we are not doing anything about it, we're just, as Tom says, on automatic pilot, then if we're not careful, that motivation by recognition can be our downfall. You have to make sure you're keeping that ego in check, and it's sad. He goes on to write, the need for motivation for recognition serves serves movie stars, serves Hollywood, serves writers, professional people, as a continual striving to keep at the top, to keep the best. And that's a good thing. You want to go outside your comfort zone. You want to be able to strive to be better. You want recognition. There is nothing wrong with recognition, folks, so please don't take this wrong. You just have to make sure that you're keeping your ego in check. The third motivator.
Hey, Troy, one of the biggest things
ahead,
when
Mike.
It comes to recognition and ego is not to believe all of your own rhetoric.
Ooh,
I mean, we know and have seen so many people that have been hyped up by others, by their own propaganda and everything, that it's hard sometimes not to buy into your own rhetoric, but at the same time, it's so destructive if people... I want to say, use the expression, fall prey to their own hype, because there are good people who have become legends in their own mind as a result of their own hype, and you know a few of them.
Boy, let me tell you. I mean,
we could do an entire show on that.
Yeah, we could. I mean, and you're right. You are dead on, Jimmy. It happens all the time, And folks, it can be the downfall. I mean, sadly, great people with great intentions starting out right. Look, we saw in the 80s with some of the televangelists. Not all televangelists are bad. And some of them fell prey to their own egos, their own need for recognition, and that's amazing. And we do it in network marketing, and it segues right into the third motivator Tom talks about, money, and the need to be considered wealthy in terms of how much money they earn, how much their possessions they have, how powerful and important they are because they control all this stuff. Folks, when you put the need for motivation by recognition and the need for motivation by money, and you let your ego go unchecked, here's what happens. You limit the growth of the leaders underneath you because it's got to be all about the me show. And when it's all about the me show, and I'll probably step on some toes and get some nasty hate mail. But when you get the me ego, what happens is you start putting out propaganda how it's all about you and how you've earned all this money, and you start showing people all your toys. And all of a sudden, people get putridly sick of hearing your name because you're not out there serving your downline. All you're doing is filling your own ego. And when that happens, all of a sudden you turn around and you wonder why your attrition rates in network marketing are so big. You wonder why your team is dwindling. You decide, well, there's somebody else over there getting more recognition than me, so I'm going to change companies and I'm going to go to the next highest bidder. This is a free agency system, so there's times when there's sign-up bonuses and all that. I don't have a problem with that when ego is not taking a part of it. And one of the men that I adore, actually two of them, but one that actually Tom uses and writes about and is great friends with is BK Barreco. BK has a personality that it could be the BK Barreco show. There's no doubt about that. He is an A+. He's driven, good-looking man, great-looking wife, beautiful kids. It could be all about him. But when you watch him, when you get to know him, you see it's about his brand partner. You see, it's about those people at the bottom that are striving to change their lives, to pay their bills. And he looks at them with as much passion, and he goes out of his way to help build them up. That's what it's about right there. See, you've got to make sure you keep it in check. It's what's the intention behind what it is you're doing. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says intention is defined as a determination to act in a certain way. Now, Tom, he supercharges everything, and he writes, intention is a state of single-mindedness, a determination to act a certain way. Folks, I'm a firm believer in that. I don't care what you're motivated by. That's not right or wrong, good or bad. But what you have to do is keep the ego in check, as Jimmy said. I mean, we have seen great people start off just going great, and then they let their ego go out of check. They believe their own rhetoric. They believe everything else that people are saying about them. And then all of a sudden, they've screwed themselves up. All of a sudden, it's about them. Folks, you just can't do that, and it just stresses me. What is your intention? See, if your intention is in firm focus with your values and your principles, then not only will you change your little part of the world, you'll teach other people how to change their part of the world, and you'll get the results that you're looking for. Now, see, Tom throughout here writes about goals and dreams, and that's typical because that's network marketing. And this book has got a lot of that. As a matter of fact, it's more than network marketing. It's what people talk about. The frustration that I have with dreams and goals is that they've been overused and people don't really get it. And because of my military background, because of the background that I had in bounty hunting and bail bonding and all that stuff, it became about objectives. I never had a commander. I never had my gunny look at me and say, okay, now we're going to put this battle plan together so we can reach our dreams and goals. He just never said that. He talked about objective and results, and when Tom said the word results, all of a sudden it clicked with me. See, if you look at this from an objective, what is the objective that you want to achieve? What's the objective that you're striving towards? If you use the word objective, then even if you don't reach that objective, you're going to still see results. See, Tom goes on and he writes in here about how the fact that most people, when they don't reach the goal, then that limiting belief takes over, and all of a sudden, well, I didn't reach it the last time. I'm probably not going to reach it this time. I didn't get the result. My why's not big enough. I'm not as good as that ego-driven person over there. I'm not motivated by money. I'm not motivated by recognition. I just want to help people. And here's what he writes. I love this. if it has been you that you've not reached your results, if you realize I just haven't reached them, then he believes, and I'm going to agree with this, Tom believes you either have excuses or you get results. If you haven't reached your results, then you've made excuses. Now, my pappy taught me something about excuses. I'll never forget this, because every time I would go to my dad, and I would say something, he'd say, stop it. That's an excuse. And I'd look at him for a minute, and he said, let me explain, son, what an excuse is. An excuse is just a cleverly disguised lie. And you're either lying to yourself, or you're lying to me, or you're lying to both of us. Now, which is it? And when I read this book of Tom's, I realized, you know what? That's exactly what you're doing. If you don't reach the result that you're looking for, you've either given yourself a cleverly disguised lie. It's coming from the fans in the stand, as Tom likes to write about. Your ego has kind of covered up the truth to you. Or you've pitched it out the door and you're getting a result that you're looking for. And eventually you'll hit the ultimate objective. There wasn't a battle plan that we put forth, whether it was in training and simulation or whether it was in the field, that we did not get results from. Not every battle is won, but results are always determined. Folks, not every game is won, but results are always determined. Tom goes on and he writes in here that every year when he was, I think he may still be doing this, but when he was coaching basketball, he brought out a new game plan. He brought out a new playbook all the time. Guess what? If you look through history from Napoleon to Alexander all the way to now, every military commander's got a new game plan. Every coach has got a new game plan. They see what worked last year, what didn't work, and they put something new together this year. That is the key to life. And too many times, we do not do that. Tom writes this, and I think this is good. It's about him. And when I read this little thing about Tom Hopp, I thought, man, how many of us are like this in network marketing? How many of us are like this when we say we want to go into business, so we start looking around? Listen to what he says. He says, when I was training to become a full-fledged certified facilitator, about 6 or 7 months into my training, my trainer asked, Tom, what are you committed to? I immediately responded, being a facilitator. He shook his head and said, no, you're not. If you were committed to being a facilitator, you'd be a certified facilitator now. He said, but based on the results, you're committed to being in training. How many of us are committed to being in training? How many of us, every time a new training program comes out, we buy it? How many times a new online system comes out, we say, oh, we got to get that, this one, this I got to learn this now. Every time a new brochure comes out, every time a new meeting takes place, do you realize that there are some network marketers, well, let's just be real, there's some leaders in network marketing that have built their whole financial empires around people like you and I who are committed to being in training all the time. Think about that for a second.
Not all right, take that a step further. Take that a step further, because there are what you were just talking about, not just within the network marketing industry, but there are people, what's his name, Jeff Daly, I believe, one of them, that makes a profession going around to the sales industry in car sales and real estate companies around the country, selling them on what their people need to be more successful. He goes around and he does these rallies. He convinces the general managers of auto dealerships, and he convinces the general or the brokers of real estate agencies that the only thing their people need to become more successful is more motivation. And he goes around and makes a very good living doing that.
Well, and I'm sure he makes a good argument for that. You know, and it sounds good. It makes sense. Everybody needs to be growing. Everybody needs to be motivating. And when you get a certain type of person, and that's not bad or good, it's just the way they are, Jimmy, they'll spend more money on tools, DVDs, CDs, books, never read them, never listen to them, never watch them, but they'll buy them because it fills a small void inside, because
yep,
they're committed to being that trainer. And then they wonder why they failed at the company. They didn't fail on themselves. They've grown somewhere along the line, but they never grew their business, no matter what business it's in, because of that. And I know a couple of CEOs that are this same process. They believe that it's always about changing. It's always about training. It's always about, and they're constantly changing comp plans. They're constantly changing presentations. And their field force never has the opportunity to excel and reach the objectives that either the distributor or the CEO has because of this type of mindset. And when I read that, when I read what Tom wrote, I thought, man, we have to be able to train and teach and equip people to stop going in that vicious circle of being committed to training and start becoming committed to getting results. Committed to doing it right, committed to building something, changing their lives, because, man, if we don't do this, there's going to be people out there, and they're going to finally get tired of it, and they're going to say, you know, network marketing didn't work for me. You know, franchising didn't work for me. You know, this business opportunity didn't work for me. And then it's sad. Now, on the other hand, Jimmy, if we look at doctors, doctors are continually learning. They're continually training. But the fun thing is they put that training to work. A new technique comes out on how to save a person's life by putting in a heart transplant.
Well, but that's the difference between motivation and hype and legitimate continuous education. Because continuous education for the sake of learning something new, Troy, that is, you know, any profession that is truly on the cutting edge where things are changing, there's continuing education that needs to be a part of it.
Sure.
It's imperative. But what you're talking about, and I love the way that you're capitalizing on Tom's point in here about being committed to being in training. Being committed to being in training, in my mind, means that as long as you're in training, you don't have to step outside the box and actually take action.
Oh.
Because as long as you're, I mean, let me put this into terms, that I would relate to what I've done for years as a pilot. As long as a pilot is in training, they're never the pilot in command. They never have to worry about making those command decisions and being responsible for the mission. As long as anyone is in training, they don't have to be responsible for their success or failure at anything, because, after all, they're still in training.
Dude, you just hit on something, because it was last week, you brought up Tom Cruise's movie Cocktail. And that just that whole scene came back to my mind as Tom was sitting there with the big F on his report, and that professor was up front. Because when you look at it, and this doesn't go for all professors, we know this, but in this scenario, there's the professor, always in training, always standing up at the front, determining somebody else's dreams and goals. Are they going to be crushed, or are they going to be uplifted? And here was the funny thing that just came to mind. Here's a guy that's looking out at his students, and he's looking at Tom Cruise and saying, that would never work. It's never going to happen. And at the same time, he's building himself up from recognition, because all the other students are saying, we got a good grade on ours. You know, all of a sudden, he's looking at Tom and he's saying, no, never going to happen, because his own limited beliefs would not allow him to take the calculated risk that Tom Cruise in that movie was going to take. How many professors, quote-unquote, in our lives, our moms, our dads, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our bosses, our best friends, the professors that we go to for advice, how many of them, through their own rose-colored glasses, their own limited beliefs, have shot our dreams and goals down and said, that isn't going to happen. I don't even know why you're trying to do that. And we've believed it because they're the experts. That sucks. And yet, isn't that what we do? We do that constantly, all the time. Folks, this is what I love about Tom Hopp and his book. If you guys haven't got, you got to get it, tomhopp.com. Listen, he writes this, and I think this is great. Says, you may be struggling with the thought process. If so, that's great, because your traditional way of thinking, your paradigms are being challenged. You're constantly aware that you are in resistance to the point of that he's making. The whole point of this daggum book, you've got to take risk. He says, remember, resistance is the second stage of the resentment and resistance and revenge cycle. You may even be looking for evidence in your own life to validate and prove that this process is wrong. If so, could it just be your need to be right? Now think about this for a minute. Your need to be right. Oh, I'm going to fail. Oh, I'm not going to succeed. Oh, that will never work. Well, to validate what you just said to yourself, you will go out and self-sabotage your own success. And then you can go around and tell everybody, see, I knew it wouldn't work. I'm just a poor victim. Poor, poor little old me. I better go get more training. I'm going to be committed to training. I know when I get trained just good enough, I'll be able to make it happen. And then you go in that vicious circle again. Folks, what makes this book so beautiful is that if you read about every part of it, if you go through here and you determine what your why is, you go through here and you say, all I can do is all I can do, but all I can do is enough. You do the work sections in each area, and I guarantee you, by the time you are done devouring this book, you will have found, just through the process of doing the work stuff in each chapter, found out that you have already made a shift, that your paradigm has changed, that for the first time in your life, you have finished something that you started, and your life has changed. And that's the key. You take this first step, the next step is easier. And then the next step is easier after that. Listen, go to tomhopp.com. Get the book. Sign up for his newsletter. Get his monthly mentoring. I tell you what, these radio shows are great. Yes, I'm biased. Yes, I like recognition. Yes, I also love purpose. Money is just a vehicle to get what I want. That's why I live at the beach. But folks, listen, if you want life change, not lifestyle change, Tom Hopp is the guy that you need to go to. Join us tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure and have a fantastic day. Bye now.
Take care, everybody. God bless.